7th Avenue Pizza, the official pizza of the Soda Pod.
The Soda Pod, the official beer and hockey podcast of 7th Avenue Pizza.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to MNCAA. It is episode number 105, and as always, we start with our Big Ten crew, which is Drew Cove and Nate Wells. Gentlemen, welcome back to the show. It's March, which means, well, first here in Minnesota, Nate, Minnesota State High School Hockey Tournament gets underway in a couple of days on Wednesday, Class A, Class AA. How about Minnetonka? Undefeated Skippers going down by the way of Chanhassen. So the drama, the excitement still on full display for probably, and I shouldn't say probably, it is probably the biggest high school sports tournament that's out there in the entire U.S. No questions asked. But just like the Minnesota State High School Hockey Tournament, Nate, college hockey tournaments coming up, conference tournaments coming up, meaningful hockey just around the corner.
Yeah, I'm going to guarantee two things that is going to happen. One, somebody is going to go quote unquote viral with a tweet that is, says that, hey, Minnesota has more people in their attendance for the high school hockey than about 8 different NHL games. And two, I want to guarantee that the Minnesota Golden Gophers are going to be in the NCAA tournament.
Ooh, okay. Drew, let's kind of talk about what this weekend was for the Gophers, right? A Michigan squad that is fighting for their pairwise lives. As we talked about last week, this is a frustrating team to watch from a, you know, neutral standpoint, because I think as Gophers fans, we don't mind that they struggle. We don't mind that, you know, we can take care of business against the Wolverines. But at spurts, again, they showed that they can be a very solid squad, but it was the Gophers, the Maroon and Gold, that, shall we say, for the most part, held serve this past weekend.
Yeah, obviously, scoring 11 goals on the weekend is not usually a bad thing, and especially in the comeback fashion, which they did on Saturday to kind of get out of a hole that they looked pretty flat-footed at first, and then to all of a sudden come back and tie the game, obviously after a couple of different heroics by some Michigan players that they might have thought they won the game or had the game sealed away. But I mean, the Gophers just showed how resilient they are. I mean, we shouldn't call them the Gophers anymore. We got to call them the Fighting Jackson Nelsons or something. So what a weekend for him. But I think, yeah, they brought what they needed to do to get the result and the opponent that they want. Obviously the desperation that Michigan's fighting for too is obviously just making the tournament at this point, which is, severely, still in doubt. Beyond what they can do in the Big Ten tournament, but the Gophers knew they wanted Penn State over Notre Dame, and they ended up getting the victory and getting the opportunity to host Penn State at Mariucci this coming weekend.
And Nate, I kind of want to stick with the point that Drew made. Rutger McGroarty, number one, he's a talented hockey player. Let's put that out there, right?
100%.
He's got some swagger. I think he showed a little bit of that swagger also at the World Junior Championship this past December/January. But you saw it a little bit differently, and I'm curious to know your thoughts on Mr. Rutger McGroarty, even though he is a very elite talent. Still some maybe work to be done, or what were your thoughts on his overall approach to this weekend?
Oh man, guys, if we did this as a Michigan podcast, I was kind of thinking about that, where we had that stretch where we're like, Minnesota, you're putting things together, but it's just a little frustrating. Those little bits are there. No, if this was a Michigan podcast, we would just be going to town every week, because this team, and I said this last week, two periods a weekend, they are one of the top five teams in college hockey. Two periods a weekend, they're a very good college hockey team. And we saw that with the Wolverines this weekend. We saw it with Rutger McGroarty, where they were able to score him. Gavin Brindley had a couple goals to get near 25 on the season. But then they have those two periods every weekend where just they look like six guys who have never seen one another. And this is a team that should not be having those chemistry problems or those anything that's going wrong. They blew a 3-0 lead against Minnesota. They blew a 4-1 lead. They were ahead 5-4 Ruggieri scores and kind of gets a little swagger and everything goes there. And then they give up the lead one more time.
And not just they give up the lead. He gives up the lead.
Yes.
He is just sleepwalking in the defensive zone. It's insane.
And that is Michigan's season in a nutshell, because this is the fifth or sixth time this year that they have been in cruise control and are just not able to close out a game. And even a couple ones where they did close out, it got much closer than it did. And you just look at those Wolverines where, you know, they have all that talent, but just that lack of consistency where we've all seen those teams that just barely miss out on the NCAA tournament. You look at it and you're like, I don't know. I see the roster, but with the Wolverines, if they miss out, and at this point they put themselves in a little bit slightly better position with sweeping Notre Dame last week and at least getting the 2/3 of a win with the overtime win on Saturday. But honestly, I didn't even care that Minnesota lost at that point because of the comeback. But with the Wolverines, they have to win the first round series against Notre Dame, which has been a team that's been tough against them. And I think they pretty much have to win against either Michigan State, who's had their number, or Wisconsin, who's had their number, to basically lock something in and make sure that something crazy doesn't happen.
And Drew, as Nate points out, you know, two periods out of three, I'm not a math guy, but that's 66.6666. It goes on for a while. It's not fantastic, Rick, because first of all, you know, for a team, and we're coming into this time of the year, maybe I should say, you need to play a full 60 minutes, right? And, you know, when we go back more to Rutger McGroarty, again, I'm not trying to pick on one player in particular with Michigan, but I do think he represents the overall problem with the Wolverines, right? Which is, I've got this incredible offensive skill, but sometimes I lose the vision of the details, especially without the puck and the defensive zone. You know, does this remind you a bit, maybe not necessarily of anybody in the Gophers and maybe their growth in particular, but maybe a certain Gophers team a couple of years ago as Bob Mosco took over? It was those details, right? Does this bear any sort of resemblance to anything that you've seen in recent years?
Yeah, I mean, I think from the time I started covering the team, there was a lot of not being able to finish games and not being able to put together complete weekends. And I feel like we've talked for the last few years just on like, all right, we need them to put a complete game together. And even this season, we saw them fall apart, not even for an entire period, but just like they fall apart for 5 minutes of a period and boom, it's a loss, like just like that. And it just illustrates the importance of structure and I guess determination to execute the skill that you have in the right ways. Obviously not saying to like withhold anything at some point, but like make sure that you're always on the ball with what you're trying to do. And make sure every move you have is deliberate. And Rutger McGroarty obviously did that in the offensive zone, but in the defensive zone, it was, I mean, that was a minute and a half later. And it was like, boy, he looks like he went from being the player in the right place at the right time with like the most skill on the ice to he looked like he could have been like if you had to pick one guy on the ice to cut off the team, he would have been the one guy. And it's like, It's not trying to like pick on him, but it's just like it's ironic how that happened. Like how he's one of the most talented. He played for the World Juniors. He's one of the most talented players of his age group in the United States, and they're able to make and Michigan has a bunch of guys who are good at having a lot of talent and also not playing that complete game every single night. So, again, this is a Gophers podcast. So I mean, it's. Not Michigan Wolverines fan line, but they've got some stuff to figure out. And I think, I mean, the Gophers have had their troubles. I mean, I think every team in the Big Ten has had these type of troubles, because that's what you get when you have really skilled rosters that you have to teach them how to play at this level and how to play together and how to play consistent 60 minute winning efforts. And that's how you get to the Frozen Four. And that's how you get to the national championship game. And Michigan's on the verge of not making the tournament, even though they have all that skill. And I think the Gophers have put it together to say they've got the skill, they've got the talent, they've been able to put it together for most nights. And look at, they're setting themselves up for a good opportunity to be a decent opportunity, obviously, to be one of those final teams standing.
Yeah, Drew, you really touched on, I think the thing you really touched on was that those teams that we that you covered right away, like that's those 16, 17, 17, mm-hmm. 18 teams, where the 17, 18 team is the one that was the knocked out the 0.0001. And just, you see a lot of similarities on that aspect because with where the Gophers were there with where Michigan is now. And I was kind of thinking about that one a lot just because of little things where that year, there's a lot of games where Minnesota blew some leads and just were able to put things together. And one of the worst weekends of that was they went to Michigan and they blew a 3-0 lead and they blew a 4-0 lead on back-to-back nights. We're able to put something there. And I think Michigan won one of the games by like Dakota Raby scored an overtime winner because Ogie went off his helmet. Like, it was just kind of one of those things where there was that. But there was that 3-4 year stretch where you're 100% right. Minnesota had to learn how to win those games because you can win games when you're leading and you're dominating. Many college hockey teams can do that. And we've seen that for Michigan this year. They are very tough when they're leading. They cannot win a game, and they have not won a game when trailing after two periods this entire season. They are very struggling when they're tied. When you only have one way to win a game, it's very hard to pull it off twice in a weekend. It's very hard to pull off that consistency, especially when you're playing these top teams, because at the end of the day, you are going against four teams that are very hard to beat. There are going to be times where you struggle and you have to fight through this adversity and find some resilience. And the teams that win the national championships are the ones that are able to do that. And the teams that are able to play for the national championships are the ones that are able to do that. And yet you do not see that with Michigan this year. You do see that with Minnesota, and you've seen that more with the Gophers throughout this second half of the season. I threw this question out to you guys at the end of the first half, and I think it's very fitting after we see a game where the Gophers come back from a 3-0 deficit entering the third period against Michigan. Did you guys ever feel that the Gophers were out of that game?
Boy, I mean, it didn't feel very certain. I mean, there were times that in the first period I said, boy, this just is not the team's night. But then, I mean, they pulled it together a little bit, and it looked like there was still some life to be had. And I mean, with the way I think that some of these individual plays have been happening, and I think especially the way that they played the night before, you said, all right, they've got 3-4 guys who can make a spectacular play or to have just almost a complete individual effort 200 foot down the ice and make something happen out of nothing. And we obviously saw that with Jackson Nelson a couple times, and it was it breathed a lot of life in. And then you say, boy, it's like it's tied. They're down by one. It's tied. Like, this is it shocked you a little bit when you actually looked at the score. But I think when the confidence in some of those guys coming down the ice to maybe make a play or make a goal, I don't think was lacking. And I don't know if that's necessarily just because of the Gopher skill, but or some of the defensive lapses by Michigan. But either way, I mean, it gives the teams and the fans some confidence there.
Yeah, it's huge. Just going back to even the small difference between the end of the first half, where they had a 2-goal leads against Ohio State, who ended up finishing last in the Big Ten. Neither of us were confident about that. They had the stretch where they're leading against Michigan State. They're not able to, once things go awry, it goes awry. And even last game series against Notre Dame, where when things were starting to slide, the first games it went awry. They weren't able to put things back. But other than outside of that game, you kind of feel the last 2 months, you see the difference in having that adversity and being able to get yourself into every game and find ways to win different games. And it really sets Minnesota right now up for a good opportunity as we hit the postseason.
What's up, guys? Isha from the Soda Pod here. We're just going to take a quick break to remind you folks of our new show here under the Soda Pod umbrella. That's right, Fellowship of the Rinks, episode 3, dropping this week. Here's a clip from the new episode.
Speaking of changes, I was curious if you thought this would be worth changing, is the rivalry series. Would you like to have it during season or summertime? Like, do you like to have it in the mix of your season?
Yeah, I think I'm kind of indifferent. I am not going to have any of my opinions put into anything serious. but I think this year it was a lot. I think since we started a little later, we did it. But it's one of the best experiences. Like, rivalry is an amazing, you know, tool, not only for international play, but for the fans to continue to know that only, it doesn't just mean that one game matters a year, and that's the championship of the gold medal game of the World Championships. To know that there's a lot more on the line, and it's a lot of switching up rosters and having, giving people a chance to, you know, to get their shot and to do things like that. So I'm pretty indifferent. I think, I don't know if it'll stay the 7-game format with just our league and stuff, but it kind of depends on when we want to start next year. And I don't think it's going to be January. I think it'll be a little prior to that. So it does matter. As long as I'm playing hockey, it doesn't matter to me.
And Nate and Drew, what I will comment on that is, you know, against Michigan, right, they're a team that, as you mentioned, when they have a lead, they usually are good at, you know, sort of locking it down. Not defensively, obviously, but they do a good job of at least staying pat and continuing to use, shall I say, that their structure and the way they want to play to just be in the offensive zone. That's just how they play, right? They just, they're less focused on the defensive side. But when you see a team go down 3-0, right, and you watch their posture and you watch how they react to it, right, it's about the response. And I think you hit it, guys, on the head, is that the second half of the season, this team not only shows that they're not just going to roll over and play dead, two, there's confidence that, yeah, this, we're down 3-0. It's fine. We're going to be fine. Let's get back to, let's simplify the game. Let's get back to what we do, and we're not out of this. Jackson Nelson, a 6-point weekend, guys. You know, is he becoming the guy that the Gophers are leaning on? Drew, I want to start with you on this. And it's, again, it's, there's more to hockey and to a great hockey player than just the skill set, right? We've talked about guys like Oliver Moore, Jimmy Snuggerud, but it seems like Jackson Nelson is that one leader, that character guy that has, at least for me this season, been the one guy that has been the catalyst to turn things around when things are going maybe not the way of the Gophers, and more so when things are going right. You look at a guy that says, I can count on this guy no matter what's happening on and off the ice.
There's a reason they spell his name with an X. He's the X factor. I like, I've been thinking about that like most of the season. Like,
you've been waiting to drop that.
Yeah, I have, because I think Jackson Nelson's,
you're like, well, we need to talk about Jackson Nelson. I got this line. It's gonna be perfect.
No. He's that, like, he's been on this season though, and I think he's got that kind of Minnesota, what's the word for it? That kind of snarl, I guess. It's like, you don't really notice it that much, but like, if you're really paying attention, like after the whistles and like, and you're like looking at what he's doing and like just between plays without the puck, he's getting under people's skin a lot. And I think like, for what that says in a leader and what he's willing to like do and put himself through and put the other team through to try and get like a little bit of an edge and to kind of play a little games with the opponents, I think that is one thing that is really obviously underrated, because it's not seen as much, and just like, and you can't be looking at five guys all the time, but sometimes when you focus on him, you'll see him make little moves that are just like, really, you're like, wow, that's a pretty sweet little trick there you got to try and outwit the opponent there. But he's got the speed. He's effortless in his speed. He look, because he's so much taller than everybody else, he looks like he's not skating as fast, but it's like, oh boy, he just took like 3 strides and he's behind the defender. Boom. He's got a shot that's as good as anybody's on the team. And he's just got that. He's got that physical nature to his game that I think is so underrated on especially championship hockey teams. I think obviously Matthew Nyes is not Jackson Nelson, but I think that bigger body, that power forward style at the college hockey level, while it might not be as apparent in the NHL anymore for being as impactful or being as necessary for a winner, I think that is certainly a big thing that needs to be on a winning team at the college hockey level. And I think Matthew Nyes is a huge reason, obviously, based on all of his other things too, but why they got to the runners up last year. But I think Jackson Nelson has some of those tools to be the same kind of guy to make that chance happen. So I think he's been incredible. That was kind of a very long-winded answer to that, but I think Jackson Nelson's been, like we said, I think a little earlier in the year too, when the Gophers are playing well, Jackson Nelson's playing well, and vice versa when he's playing well, they're like, he was the spark to get them to overtime on Saturday, and obviously he had a couple points the night before, or the hat trick the night before. But it's, yeah, sometimes you got to have those weekends, and I think that happened obviously at the right time for him, and hopefully it can continue going forward.
And it's a nice way to, shall we say, enter into Big Ten tournament time, right, guys? And as you mentioned, the Gophers get the draw that they wanted. They're getting Penn State this weekend. Drew, you're going to be in Dallas this weekend, if I understand correct.
Yeehaw, yep.
So what's going on in Dallas?
Yeah. Billy Joel, Stevie Nicks at Jerry World.
Ooh. Oh, that's not bad.
You want to come out here for one of the monthly shows he does?
I did went back in high school. My dad's a big Billy Joel fan, so he's a. We saw him at Wrigley. We went to Madison Square Garden. That's the only time I've ever been to MSG is to see Billy Joel. And so yeah,
they got him up in the rafters there. So
oh yeah,
I have yet to get to MSG myself. That is on the list for sure. What's on the list for the Gophers is to not overlook Penn State. And again, Nate, I think. It sounds like a cliche. It sounds like a duh, Nick. We know this already, but you know, these are the moments where teams can get ahead of themselves a little bit, right? Penn State has shown in spurts, not as much this season, but they can score sometimes a lot at will. I don't expect the Gophers to overlook this team, but what should we expect as Gophers fans coming from the Nittany Lions this weekend? As you know, with their pairwise situation, it is win or go home for them, no question, this weekend. So what can we expect to see from Penn State this weekend?
Throwing it back to just a few weeks ago, obviously, I thought Penn State is a better team than the results showed, where it was 3-0 Minnesota, the first time that anyone's shut out Penn State back-to-back in a weekend series. The Nittany Lions, they were an overtime goal away from making the Frozen Four last year. They returned still a good portion of that defense. And for me, just kind of maybe the difference between this year's team and last year's team is when the Nittany Lions find success, it's they have the depth, they have the culture to be able to bring everyone together and have just that depth of scoring where you're not relying just kind of on one line or just 2, 3, 4 players. And that's kind of been the case with Penn State this year. If you're able to shut down Aiden Fink, you're able to shut down Curlin and kind of their kid line, just it makes things a lot easier. And for that to happen, for Minnesota's able to kind of continue doing that, what they did against the Indy Lions last month at Mariucci, they'll put themselves in a very good position. At the same time, though, I know the Gophers do remember how things were in State College back in December. It's not an easy series by any stretch of the imagination. The Gophers have also had some fun times with the Nittany Lions in the Big Ten playoffs. So they played in this past season at Mariucci. They had obviously again the 2018 year where they lost to them twice at State College end of the year, and then they went back and lost twice more and kind of threw everything in flux. So it's fun because they kind of have these nice little playoff history, even if the players fully don't, but just the programs are kind of getting together in this Big Ten thing. We're kind of creating these nice little fun traditions here.
And Drew, I want to piggyback off that a bit, because as Nate pointed out, there has been a little history between these two squads in meaningful hockey. It doesn't quite feel that way, I think, at least on our side of the river, because when you think of high school rivalries, right, you think of Michigan, maybe North Dakota, right? Some of the more closer rivalries. But is this kind of developing to be not, I would say, to the level of a rivalry, but with the history there, these teams know each other. And with that being said, they know how each other play. This isn't a cakewalk by any stretch of the imagination, is it, Drew?
No, I think obviously, yeah, like the shutout results are make it seem like, oh boy, this is going to be a lot easier. But I do think just on the preparation level and the predictability, I guess, of what Penn State can do is different than some of the other teams that they could have faced. I think Michigan is a wild card because obviously they wouldn't have faced Michigan. But I'm just saying they're more of a wild card when it comes to scoring, because they're so dynamic offensively that it's like a little harder to prepare for, and they can kind of create a lot of things off of broken plays. I just think the talent level with Penn State's a little bit lower this year, that it's a bit more straightforward to prepare for them. And who knows? I mean, next week I could be eating my words for that. But let's just say I think Minnesota fans don't like Penn State, especially the ones that have been Minnesota fans for a long time. They don't like them just because they exist. And that makes, I get it. And I, I get why you think that way, but it's long in the past. And
2024.
If that's what it takes to develop a rivalry, you know what? Then go for it. I think if you wanna hate all the other teams, that's probably good for a rivalry, right? It's like we didn't get Minnesota fans disliking North Dakota just because, oh boy, we're really psyched to have them play against us in like the 40s and 50s, and now it's gonna be. Just develop over time, but I mean to spark some of that stuff to happen for a team that's so far away physically, that's like so hard like to manifest that stuff. And even the other sports, there's no real, I mean, the governor's bell, what is that really? Like the bits of broken chair is a much better trophy than that. And I think it's just, yeah, there's not really other sports to go off of to say, oh, there's a rivalry here. It's like the original Big Ten schools, it's tough when you kind of add like a school to a conference that's kind of been longstanding and you have all these rivalries with other people. But we'll see. I mean, I think Minnesota Penn State has when they're both good, it should be better. I think they've had some differing cycles in terms of their upper echelon levels, but hopefully in the next few years, they can kindle some of that into being a really top end rivalry.
I will say this, though. I do think that Penn State adding hockey and being in the Big Ten and everything has certainly been a boon for the sport nationally and just the fan base. If anyone who has not gone out to Pagula, I really recommend it. Really put it on your bucket list. Just the arena is beautiful. The fans there are extremely passionate. The students are crazy. It's a fantastic atmosphere. They're up right in the glass. It's very steep. The arena itself, you can tell, is more intense. It feels a lot like Amsoil. In the same style as like basically the same year or maybe 2 year older or newer on that end. But it's really nice. They really love Penn State hockey out there. It's kind of maybe the same thing on that end where they don't like Minnesota, but it's not their big hater. Whereas it's not Michigan, it's not Ohio State, it's not the teams that they play in college football that are the big ones they hate. But just I do think it's been a big plus for college hockey to have Penn State in there.
I think so. And Nate, when's Illinois coming? Just kidding. I mean,
they haven't come like the other like 20 times that one account.
Yeah.
Doing that. Anyone remember that one?
Dude, not only do I remember it, but you know, when they came out and basically said this thing is dead, you know, I can only imagine as much of an impact Penn State has had on Big Ten hockey. I would argue Illinois would have had double, if not triple, the effect on that. It's amazing to think that with the Blackhawks and their recent success, I know I'm, you know, sort of gagging in my own throat when I say that, but at the end of the day, right, you know, the minor hockey system in Illinois is almost not, I don't want to say it's non-existent, but it's not to level the surrounding states, right? And I think it'd be really good for the sport to get into around a bigger city like Chicago, even New York, those kind of places, right, where you really can attract some more fans from a youth level, right? And so, I don't know, it's a trickle up for me, I think, you know, especially with hockey. Speaking of trickling up, guys, let's reset the Big Ten picture for our listeners, just so we know what we're going into this weekend. We do have to congratulate Michigan State, guys, their first Big Ten regular season title. So that means, hang on, checking notes. Oh, Michigan, they have yet to win a Big Ten title to their name. Surprisingly, despite you know, a couple of really nice runs for the Wolverines, yet to win a Big Ten regular season title, right? That's kind of interesting.
No, what a team. What a terrible team. They've been, you know, bottom of the standings for the longest time. They've been constantly rebuilding coach after. I mean, they've had two coaches in the last 2 years. It's tough to see Michigan having, especially for Michigan, such as a school that really needs a winner one of these days, you know, it's tough to see for,
I mean, I thought that's been looking for places, Drew, really thought they were going places after their regional semifinal win against AIC. I thought that was like, okay, this is going to get somewhere. No, hasn't happened.
Not every team can beat AIC. Like, there you go. Look, you gotta go.
That's
there.
The line we were looking for.
Wow. St. Cloud fans are gonna just absolutely destroy.
All right. So we have like Red Berenson gonna like run across the ice to like kick all our butts because he can't, even though he's 84. We have St. Cloud fans. Okay, we're getting there on there. But yeah, I really do love the fact that every Big Ten team has won the regular season title except for Michigan, who has won more conference titles than any other team. It's just, it's one of those fun and weird things. It's like how like Wisconsin has like 4 regular season titles in their history, but 6 national championships. It's just, it's one of those weird quirks.
I think you'll take the Natty champs right over the conference, you know, regular season banner participation trope, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, but guys, the rest of the Big Ten shakes out as this: Ohio State is going to travel to Wisconsin as the 1-7, Notre Dame at Michigan, and then the Spartans again on the bye as the number 1 seed in the Big Ten. Pairwise implications, Nate. So there are 3 teams right now that we believe are a lock. That is both Michigan State. I shouldn't say both because that only implies 2. Michigan State, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, virtual locks, right? So not 100%. I would imagine Michigan State and Wisconsin are probably at locks right now. Minnesota, probably pretty close. They're probably, what, 99.9%. Michigan, again, we talked about it before, would have to not only win this weekend, but Nate, do they have to make it, in your mind, to feel comfortable, not just to make it bare minimum, but to feel comfortable, would probably have to get to the Big Ten championship game, or do they have to win it? What do you think is their easiest path to get a nomination to the NCAA tournament?
Easiest path is three-peat the conference tournament. They for sure have to win. They have to win this weekend. They lose twice, they're done. There's quite a few teams kind of in that area that it's, you lose twice, you're not coming back. They help themselves with the overtime win versus getting only a third of a win versus the 2/3 of a win on Saturday. So that will help them a little bit. You get those road points and you do it against a team that right now the Gophers are 7th in the pairwise as we record this. They actually moved up a spot. And again, we should really give the Gophers credit because they began the second half really on the kind of in that same bubble tier, and they moved up and kind of created their own little tier. And now they're really just, they're in that 6, 7, 8 spot where they're safe. They're in a good tier. They pretty much they've assured themselves an NCAA tournament berth and done that on their own. They don't have to worry about anyone else. But yeah, with the Wolverines, I believe they have to be, and odds are who they play are is going to be Michigan State or Wisconsin, somebody who is higher up there. So you get a win over them, that's going to really help them and kind of keep them on the right side of the bubble. But you lose the championship game, you still should be good. You lose against Michigan State or Wisconsin, you're really sweating it out. There's possibilities to get in, but with this year, the CCHA is one bid. Atlantic Hockey is one bid. There's a lot of teams that seem like they can steal conference championships. So if you're in that 14, 13, 12 range, you kind of start to be a little bit worried whether that's going to be good enough to get an at-large bid this year.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, guys. And here's my final question for our week's episode. I'm going to ask you both this. So assume Minnesota takes care of business against Penn State. They go on to the next round. What is the better opponent for the Gophers in the second round? Would it be Wisconsin, or would it be, I suppose, it would be essentially Wisconsin if the top seeds all won, right? Would that would be their opponent, or would it be Michigan, or would it be, would it be Wisconsin or Michigan?
They would either play if Wisconsin wins, they play Wisconsin. If Ohio State beats them, they play the next highest team, whoever wins the Michigan-Notre Dame series. They end up playing Michigan State because they won't be the lowest remaining team. They do end up kind of receding after the first round.
So who would you want the Gophers to see? Who would be the better matchup for the Gophers to get to a Big Ten title game?
You know, I would probably say, honestly, the rematch again with Michigan. I know it's kind of, again, you're dealing a lot through demons, and this feels like where the Gophers are this time of year is just they're dealing with the demons of their history, their past history. But it feels like that's a good group to go against. The problem is, and it's the same thing that they're going to be facing with Penn State, is then you're playing a team that's desperate to continue its season, and that makes it tough. Gophers, Wisconsin at Kohl Center for a Big Ten title game berth, though, that atmosphere will be nuts. and really just kind of showcase why having these games on campus sites is just makes a world of difference. I do think, again, a little bit more of those demons for the Gophers, but I did like how the Gophers ended up looking against the Badgers at Kohl Center when they played last month. So honestly, it's just going to be a lot of good games. To win the Big Ten Conference Tournament, you're going to end up having to beat 2-3 really good teams. So that part's not going to matter.
And then, Drew, let me slightly adjust the question there. Let's say that it is the Gophers and Spartans Big Ten title game. Do the Gophers have a chance?
Oh, absolutely. I think based on the way we saw them play in their last series a few weeks ago, more than a month ago now, but I think they have what it takes. They have to put it together. And I think we say that almost every weekend saying, boy, they have all the keys. They gotta make sure they're all firing at the right time. So I think they can absolutely do it. They've proven that Augustine is beatable. And they have to have some of their game breakers really break the game open. That's I think what it takes, and to stick it through the end and to make it happen. But I think they could absolutely do it for against Michigan State.
October, November, December, January, February, March, gentlemen. It's been 6 months since we started this season's journey. We are finally at our meaningful hockey point of the regular season / postseason. It is the most exciting time to be a college hockey fan, and if you're in Minnesota, a high school hockey fan as well. Not so much if you're a pro hockey fan, but that's a whole different podcast. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me this week. We do have to run over to our friend Max Veach, and what is shaping up to be quite the crazy finish in the regular season for the NCHC Conference. That is coming up next.